Our topic on this portion of Vocal Point is Trump and the Evangelicals. We're going to talk with Dr. Michael Brown, who, among other things, is a columnist. His website is askdrbrown.org. Michael Brown, welcome back to the program.
Always a joy to be with you, Jerry.
Me too. Okay, so let me ask Dr. Brown, what do you think about Trump and the Evangelicals? First question is this: is it possible that the relationship between the two has been exaggerated? That is to say that we're getting the impression that there's more support among evangelicals for Trump than really exists.
Well, on the one hand, Jerry, wherever I turn and I interact with people, pastors, fellow evangelical believers, the overwhelming majority of them seem to be very suspicious of Trump and not for Trump. That being said, you can't deny he's got endorsements like from Jerry Falwell Jr. and Pastor Robert Jeffress, and that the polls do indicate that in certain states he's been ahead of Senator Cruz with evangelicals, where it was kind of assumed that Senator Cruz, especially with Huckabee out of the race, Governor Huckabee, that Cruz would get the vast majority of those votes. Some cases he's gotten less than Trump. So you can't deny that he has support. I do run into people that are almost rabid Trump supporters, and they're professing evangelicals. So it's an odd relationship to me for many reasons. I'm not saying that they can't be true Christians and support Trump, but it's a very odd relationship. And honestly, it really gives me concern. I feel like it tells us more about the state of many evangelicals than it tells us about Donald Trump.
Well, if you were to take Trump just at face value, only based on what he's saying now and has been saying for the last half year or so, then you could certainly understand why evangelicals not aware of anything about him prior to the last half year might easily be swayed by what he has to say. But it's the problem is when you go beyond half a year ago.
Yeah, I could easily see people being swayed if they're not listening carefully. I mean, there's a lot about him that's very appealing, and he can be very endearing. And he can really give you the impression that he's the one that's going to get the job done. But if you listen carefully, that's what I don't understand. For example, when he talks about being a good Christian and suggests the IRS is auditing him because he's a strong Christian, that he doesn't seem to need to ask God for forgiveness ever. As author Max Lucado said, that's like saying I'm a swimmer, but I never get wet, or I'm a singer, but I don't know any songs. In the same way, he says he reads the Bible more than anyone and can't quote a single verse. When he did quote a verse, it's a non-existent verse. I feel like people are just being scammed when he'll tell MSNBC one day that he's going to remain neutral on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and a few days later tell Regent University he's 100% supporting Israel and pledges that, and then can vacillate, go back and forth on things, can say that he's going to order the military to break international law and torture people and kill the families of terrorists, and say they're going to listen to what I say, and then within hours issue a statement saying, no, we respect the law, and then a day or two later say, no, we're going to expand the law. I don't know how anyone could find a trustworthy. A few years ago, he says that Hillary Clinton, great Secretary of State, hardworking, he likes her. Now she's the worst Secretary of State ever. One day he says Ted Cruz is a nasty guy. A few days later he says, no, I like him. He's got a good temper. And then a few days later he's unfit. He's a liar. I mean, if you just listen, you realize you have no idea what his real positions are, no idea which way he'd go as president. And then the vulgarities, the insults, the demeaning of others. I'm not saying that the man we elect as president has to be an upstanding Christian of the highest order that can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and has a perfect track record of Sunday school attendance for 30 years. But how about someone with integrity? How about someone who's careful with their speech? How about someone who's trustworthy? How about someone who's a clear moral conservative? I don't see any of that with Donald Trump, sad to say.
You know, I saw in an email, a private email, from a respected evangelical leader where he was saying, look, Trump got no more than 33% of evangelical support. And I believe the context of that was in reference to South Carolina and the voting there. But I thought that was a very interesting thing because it made me realize, you know, there are polls which are showing that there are limits to who to whom Trump is appealing, and I think that includes the majority of evangelicals.
Yes, well, look, if you just look at the larger figures, delegate count, the total number of delegates between Cruz and Rubio is substantially ahead of the Trump count. Excuse me. If you look at the evangelical vote, if you take Cruz and Rubio together, they'll have a higher percentage consistently than Trump. In most cases, even in the overall vote, Trump is not getting more than about 35%. In almost no cases has he gotten more than 40% of the overall vote. So
in actual votes, as opposed, excuse me for interrupting, Dr. Brown, in actual votes, as opposed to polls, because some of the polls,
yes,
he does better than it actually translates to votes, but some of these votes have also translated into great success for Donald Trump so far.
Yes, but overall, he still remains a minority candidate in terms of support. Of course, it's the case with all of them, mm-hmm, at this point, with still four candidates in the race. But it's not like he has some type of a mandate. And yes, let's say he got, in South Carolina, 33% of the evangelical vote. He's hardly the main choice of evangelicals. It's clear to me that he would still be the second or third choice among evangelicals overall. But the fact that he has that many supporting him, some have suggested that some of it depends on what kind of evangelical you are. If you're an evangelical in the breed of a Dr. D. James Kennedy, and you are a strong moral conservative, and that's the part that's a foundation of your evangelicalism, then yes, absolutely, you're not going to be voting for Donald Trump. Maybe you're an evangelical who's part of kind of a success in life type church, more superficial in the scripture, more about just getting bigger and better and more successful. Well, then you might identify as an evangelical and go the way of Donald Trump. But again, since we're sharing concerns, frankly, and look, we need to pray for him. What a great opportunity to pray for him. Certainly he has more access to Christian leaders, and Christian leaders have more access to him than probably his entire life. And I know that at least some are really trying to use this as an opportunity to bring him to the Lord. So, of course, we should pray for him. And all the more, if he ends up being the Republican candidate or the president, we should really be praying for him. But the concerns I have right now, we're not at that point. So let's sound the alarm. Let's raise the concerns. Let's get people to think. When Jerry Falwell Jr. says that our biggest issues are economy and security. So economy and security are the biggest concerns we have. And he's the man, a businessman, who can help us with economy and help us with security. Well, hang on. I thought that those are secondary to morality. I thought from the perspective of a Christian that the fact that we're slaughtering a million babies a year is a bigger issue than economy and security. The fact that we've redefined marriage is a bigger issue than economy and security. We could go down the line, and mm-hmm, some of these things are directly impacted by the President of the United States. President Obama has used the White House as his bully pulpit to push for some of these things, sad to say. And look, is there anything higher on the list of priorities than appointing God-fearing Supreme Court justices that'll be faithful to our Constitution?
Nope.
What happens if Donald Trump comes in and decides he's going to prove how open-minded he is and appoint all kinds of justices that could get us in a terrible morass for the next generation or two? Mm-hmm. I feel like people aren't looking at the long-haul vision. They're looking for a temporary fix, and that could really be disastrous.
I'm surprised, though, that there are some leaders, some Christian leaders, and I don't want to, pick on them or anything, but as I've looked at them and their support for Donald Trump, what I see basically is their thinking is anybody but Hillary, anybody but Bernie Sanders. And so, Hillary Clinton is not going to support any kind of or nominate any kind of justice of the Supreme Court who is going to be pro-life or even just to let's say be states' rights type person. I mean, Roe v. Wade was imposed on us by judicial fiat. It was not something that we the people voted on, and it's been divisive ever since that decision in 1973. But Hillary is going to be strongly pro-abortion rights, obviously, and whoever she approves. But they get down on us for having litmus tests about, you know, Supreme Court justices. But you better believe they have litmus tests on the left for the very same thing. So anyway, in other words, what I'm saying is that the people who, the evangelicals, are saying, let's go for Trump. This is the best we can do, and it's certainly better than Hillary or Bernie. What is your comment to that?
Well, we're not at that point yet. In other words, if the doctor says we might be able to save the legs, then you don't debate, do we amputate the left one first or the right one first? Let's try to save the legs. So in this case, we're not at that point of Trump versus Hillary, who we're going to vote for. We still have the opportunity to elect a God-fearing candidate. We still have two strong conservatives left with Cruz and Rubio, and Senator Cruz has a legitimate chance right now of getting in. Marco Rubio, a much more difficult chance. But we still have the opportunity to elect someone other than Trump if we are voting in the Republican primaries. So why are we talking about that next phase? Moreover, according to polls over and over and over with great consistency, both Cruz and Rubio beat Hillary head-to-head, and Hillary beats Trump head-to-head. So you could argue that a vote for Trump today is a vote for Hillary tomorrow.
Wow.
So let's look at that the way it stands now. Now, I fully understand Dennis Prager, a wise thinker, a conservative Jewish thinker.
Mm-hmm.
What he said is that, look, if he doesn't want Trump to be the nominee, but if Trump is the nominee, you have to vote for him because we know Hillary will appoint bad justices to the Supreme Court, but Trump might appoint good justices, or at least some. Okay, that's a valid argument, one that needs to be considered. But again, we're not there yet. So let's do what we can to get the right candidate in. And then you could come up with another argument that pragmatically Hillary could be better than Trump. You say, how would that be? Well, if Donald Trump ends up being the deal maker in chief and ends up just kind of showing everyone that he's the man that can bring everyone together and ends up betraying all the values for which people voted him in, or those that were hopeful that he would stand up for things or truly be a conservative, as he says, now we're completely stuck with a Republican president. We could lose the houses if he gets in. It could be a real mess. It could be, if Hillary gets in, that's the wake-up call for the church. That's people realizing we don't have a solution in the White House. So I don't want to see it happen by any means. But really, this is a much, much bigger thing. People are oversimplifying it. And now let's work to get the right candidate, if you're Republican, to be the Republican candidate. Let's work for that before we have to deal with anything but Hillary.
Okay. We're talking right now with Dr. Michael Brown. We have about a minute and a half left at the most. Dr. Brown, does character matter in politicians? And let me just tell you something real briefly. Dr. Donald S. Lutz, political science professor at the University of Houston, a very important author. Anyway, bottom line is he has told me and others have told me that word election comes from the Bible. In the early days in the American experience, especially under the Puritans, the goal was to see, they would put on a ballot between these two men to see which of them did the voters think was among the elect. In other words, the Calvinist, well, really it's the Ephesians doctrine that, of the elect. And the idea implied in that is that the character of the politicians was good, it was noble. And today we're at a situation where we ask, does character matter as far as our politicians?
It absolutely matters. And I don't think you can look at a great leader in recent history, from Winston Churchill to Margaret Thatcher to Ronald Reagan to others, and say that they were not people of character. Character matters. And again, a major reason why I have concerns about candidate Trump.
AskDrBrown.org for more information. Are your columns posted there, sir?
Yes, we put up our latest columns. It's 3 to 5 new columns a week, 2 to 3 new videos a week, and 10 hours of radio a week, all posted at AskDrBrown, AskDrBrown.org.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Always a pleasure.
Always a joy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Now, for Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb.